It's not a question, really. It's just a comment. It's not just men who have sheds, you know. I've got one at the bottom of my garden. I love pottering. Thank you. Your talk was wonderful. Thank you.
Spoken by a true Yorkshire woman who calls a spade, even when it's a shovel. Right, thank you.
I suppose this is a comment as well. I've been looking for work and all the jobs just seem to be talking about stressful environments, somebody able to cope with fast-paced efficiency and all this stuff. And I've just been so alarmed by that it's taken as that's good, that's normal, that's right. And if you can't cope, well, you're no good. And it really is alarming me, that sort of sense of this is how it's supposed to be.
It's quite obsessive compulsive behaviour in the workplace. One of the signs of hope for us is that Harvard Business School, which kind of was the epitome of fast-paced, frenetic culture, productivity, did a research that began after the collapse of Enron some years ago, and had done further given the economic crisis and the collapse of the World Bank in, you know, a few years ago, 7-8. And what is now coming out of Harvard Business School is actually the virtue of things like reflection. And what we need for a contemporary world is more wisdom than knowledge. That's basically the conclusion. Because we've got so much knowledge that's coming out of our ears, just tap into Wikipedia on Google. But wisdom is what we really lack. Because if you think about, I mean, I think God has judged the West. I think for me, the collapse of the money markets is God's judgment upon the West. We had the opportunity to feed the poor and cancel the debt. We didn't do it. And within a short space of time, our money markets crashed. I think God's part of that judgment is that, you know, we became self-reliant. And the foolishness of what went on, which still goes on in the money markets today, is just an absolute nonsense. It's that compulsive, obsessive thing. Can you cope with stress, this, that, and the other? We've had three people who used to work on the London Stock Exchange on retreat at Nether Springs this last year, three separate individual people who all had burnouts, right? I said to them, I was directing two of them, so how did you cope? Oh, we're on crack cocaine. It's the only way we could. You do realize that the stock exchange is run by gamblers, vast majority of whom are on crack cocaine. You know, come on, world, wake up. Because that lifestyle. Now, it's hard. If you're looking for work, it's really, really hard. It's really hard. But somehow I feel that the church needs to rediscover its prophetic voice. We've got great strengthening of the pastoral arm of the church here in this conference. But where are the prophets today? I'm not talking about people who speak about revival and celebration services. I'm talking about people who speak prophetically into the public square and challenge some of those assumptions that you're coming up with when you go for your job interviews. It's very worrying. It's sickening, actually.
Hi, I'm also a northerner from Liverpool. And I was very interested in what you were saying about the disconnect between what we say in the churches about mission, this is what we're for, and how we actually are in the churches. Just wonder if you had any wisdom to offer and any thoughts about how we can do something to heal that disconnect. Because in our situation, even in a fairly new growing church, reaches a certain size and actually doesn't really want to grow anymore. It's quite hard to become outward looking once they've reached we're comfortable here.
Yeah. I can't promise any wisdom. But what I would say to churches and church leaders, please try and put the emphasis on the character of the church and on the things that are really important, the priorities. So things like, if we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, if we can rediscover, put it this way, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, then actually we won't go far wrong. It's when people run churches. You know Eugene Peterson, the writer? Eugene Peterson wrote the last trilogy of his books out of a conversation with a student in a conference dining room when he said to the young man, what do you do? He said, I run a church. And Peterson said, I've not spent over 40 years in theological education to train people to run churches. We've got to liberate churches from running churches. And we won't become missional movements or missional churches until we rediscover character. And who we are and the character is far more important than kind of what we do. And in that way, we start to dismantle the disconnect between what we're saying and what we're doing. Is that helpful? Thank you. Bit.
Here's an easy question for you, Roy. The one before last, I wanted to come back to you and say, okay, you were saying something about being prophetic, being countercultural. And I guess a lot of us in this room are used to picking up the pieces from the casualties of our society. But how do we do that other bit, that being countercultural, being prophetic, making a difference, being proactive, preventative?
I think, you know, the call of the gospel, the call to follow Christ, is the call to a different way of living, a different way of being. And, you know, when Paul says to the church at Rome, do not be conformed by the standards of this world, it's a call for us in a post-Christendom culture to live differently. Not like some of my Baptist forefathers and mothers who got the critique of society right in many ways, but then just thought they had to withdraw entirely. But actually to be salt and light, but to live alternatively. We've got to be different. And it's going to take courage, and it's going to take massive encouragement. It links to your question about how do we, you know, disconnect the disconnect. You know, we live in a consumer culture. Let's stop consuming addictively as we are. Let's model community. I say to therapists and people involved in the healing ministry, if churches were more communities, some of you lot wouldn't need to do your job. And I think that's why some of you are here at this conference, because there's a healing community here, a therapeutic. You feel safe, some of you, just by being here, not necessarily having to receive counseling. So if churches can live the way in which, for me, we're called to live, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about the renewal of the church will come from a new type of monasticism, which only has in common with the old an allegiance to the Sermon on the Mount. It's high time men and women banded together to do this. If we could do that, because so many of our churches are actually so modeled and influenced by the consciousness of contemporary consumer culture. So, one example, you know, the fast-paced, purpose-driven thing, all we're doing is we're endorsing culture. And I think, you know, if you think about the age gap, people are missing from the churches. The younger people are missing from churches, right? Very interesting that the Fresh Expressions report, From Evidence to Anecdote, that some of you will know, has pointed out that really the only growth in the Anglican church is really Fresh Expressions and cathedrals and minsters. And the common characteristic between Fresh Expressions and, you know, minsters is hospitality. It's not rocket science. I think we could start live alternatively by putting weight of emphasis upon hospitality instead of entertaining people, instead of running programs for people, instead of foolishly thinking that the way to reach the world is to be attractional. No, the way to reach the world is to be authentic, transparent, with integrity, so we live what we teach. So we don't say to the world, we've got it all right. We say, we're just plodding hopefully in the right direction, but we love God. And we're trying to form community. Western, Helmut Tillich. No, it wasn't Tillich. It was Jürgen Moltmann. I was just to impress some of you. All right. But Jürgen Moltmann says, the loss of the doctrine of the Trinity has led to an excessive individualism within the West. High time men and women, you know, it's high time that we rediscovered the doctrine, not just as a creedal statement, but as a lived reality. So alternative, prophetic, let's be community. In whatever context we find ourselves, let's build relationally, and then we dismantle the Western individualism. The Africans talk about Ubuntu. They can't see themselves in isolation from other people. Sorry.